Brendan, are you here? Brendan? We'll have to wait for Brendan. Now Brendan's here, we can get started. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Good morning. Good morning. I know. Let's all bring it together. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of the Recreation and Parks Commissioners. Today is September 5th, 2024. This meeting will be conducted in person. All public comments will be taken in person only. And each speaker will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. Takesha, can you call for the roll?
Will do, Madam President. President Semerol.
Present.
Vice President Sanchez.
Present.
Commissioner Hutton.
Present.
Commissioner Tran.
Present.
Commissioner Lloyd.
Here.
And we have quorum, Madam President.
Thank you. May we ask the audience to just bring it down if you want to continue your conversations. You can continue your conversations outside. Thank you very much. Our first order of business is approval of the minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes from August 15th, 2024?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Takesha, can you call for the vote?
Yes, President Semerol, we have a motion and a second to approve the regular minutes from August 15th, 2024. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Hutton, how do you vote? Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Semerol, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. This is the General Manager's Update, Mr. Kim.
Good morning, President Semerol, commissioners, staff, and members of the public. Jimmy Kim, General Manager. I want to start off with some news from the Paralympic Games. One of our participants, Ms. Ariel Middleton, has won silver in the women's shot put in the Paralympic Games. Just by way of background, Ariel participated in our para surfing clinics as well as our Paralympic special events over at Michelle and Barack Obama Sports Complex in 2023. So we want to congratulate her on her amazing silver medal here at the at the 2024 Paralympic Games. I wanted to start off with that news.
You know, you were anticipating gold in 2028.
That's right, and we are. And we'll be right there behind her, supporting her, as well as all of the other Olympians, potential Olympians that might make it to the 2028 games. A couple other highlights. In response to the adverse heat weather that we're experiencing in the city, the department is supporting the activation of augmented cooling centers at 6 locations throughout the city. Information about the cooling centers can be found at laparks.org on the homepage. These sites have extended hours through Sunday, September 8th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. But I also want to remind the public that's listening in here to know that all Reckon Park facilities, as well as all city facilities that are public facing, can be used for places of refuge from the heat during normal operating hours. I also wanted to note that we have extended 7 seasonal pools that will be open on Saturdays and Sundays from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. up till September 29th. And those 7 swimming pools are North Hollywood, Valley Plaza, Silmar, Ritchie Valens, Hanson Dam, Pan Pacific, and Harbor, which is perfect for the weather that we're experiencing in the next week. In addition to the 7 pools, I just want to remind everybody, we also have 22 year-round pools throughout the city that are open not only on the weekends, but during the week as well. And the public could get more information about our swimming pool operating hours, as well as our extended pools at laparks.org under facility and swimming pools. I just wanted to take a quick moment to thank all of the staff that keeps our parks open, programmed, and maintained on a day-to-day basis, but also the work that they do during times of local emergency. So thank you to the staff that is listening, as well as that are here, for all the hard work that you guys do. So thank you so much. A couple of general updates. I wanted to provide an update on the wall at Griffith Park. Staff has reported back that before we can proceed with any repairs, a geotechnical survey, a historic evaluation, and structural assessment needs to be completed. So these assessments are essential to ensure the integrity and safety of the repair plan. So we're in the process of identifying necessary funds for the project. Once we have identified funds, we have to work with our planning division to prioritize this work. But I will say that due to the limited staffing that we have in the planning division, we're kind of shifting our priorities to make sure that the highest priority needs are addressed first. On another note, as you may have heard, the city will be hosting the 2020 Olympics here in Los Angeles. And as part of that endeavor, the department will be hosting two different venues, specifically in Reckon Park's property. The first one is the Sepulveda Basin, and the second is the Expo Center. The department is currently working on finalizing the venue use agreements with LA 28, and we should be coming to the board in the near future to talk about the agreements that we have in place, as well as all the different types of opportunities that we'll see from their agreement. In addition, I wanted to make note that the department has sent 2 members of our team to the Paralympic Games to meet with Paris and 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games official to learn how their parks are connecting their communities and visitors to the games. Staff will be reporting back on their observations, as well as our plans, as we welcome not only the 2028 Games, but also the World Cup in 2026, as well as all the different major events that's going to be coming to the city in 2026, 2027, and then culminating with our 2028 Olympic Games. To support this endeavor, the department has activated the Department Operations Center, led by our Emergency Management Division, to coordinate our response so that we have a coordinated response not only to our city partners, but also to any public that needs information related to the Olympic Games. Finally, I wanted to report back on the slides that we left on the table. There's copies of our data from our summer 2024 operations. Before I go over this report, I just want to make note that it's a comparison from fiscal year 23-24 to just the summer 2024 data. So I just want to make note. So all the data that I'm going to be talking about is a comparison point in time now versus all of last year, all of last year's fiscal year. So I'll start off with our summer camps. This year, we had a total of 121 sites for summer camps. Out of the 121, 88 were subsidized, and we had a total of 36,600 enrollments. We had 33 non-subsidized locations, and we had 22,920 enrollments for a total of 59,520. And out of the 59,520, we had 13,465 unique enrollments. That means, they enrolled in different weeks, but they were unique enrollments.
So just to clarify that, of the 60,000 were the enrollments per program, but the 13,400 kids that played a sport.
That were in summer camp. This is just from summer camp. Yes, summer camp. That's
okay,
right.
That's great. I love to break that down so that we know the growth of this child, the youth participant, versus the number of activities they're engaging in.
That's right.
Great.
Slide three represents enrollments versus unique participants. So this past summer, we had 70,769 enrollments program-wide, of which 44,463 were unique participants, meaning they participated in more than one program throughout our system. Slide four breaks down the age and gender. And as you notice, you'll see that between fiscal year 23-24 and now, we're tracking about the same in percentages. So we're hoping to, as we go through the rest of the fiscal year, for those numbers to change, hopefully increase on a more equitable level. Slide five represents the 23-24 ethnicity breakdown.
If we could go back to the age breakdown, I just want to make note of the participants by age this summer were 7 to 12, which is extraordinary because data shows that is the 12-year-old is the highest drop-off for sports, so that the younger kids are playing. But then I notice we go down to, 20%, it looks like, with the older kids. Mm-hmm. So my question there is, what particular outreach might we be looking to do for the older students? We don't necessarily need to answer today, but maybe a future report to just sort of lean in to sort of capture where we're seeing a drop off from a data perspective at the 12 to 13 year old, and then picking that up as older youth.
Absolutely. Slide five represents the ethnicity breakdown. So five and six. So slide five is for 23-24. And slide six is, again, just this summer, the summer ethnicity breakdown, and it's tracking about the same. And to that point, our team is looking at areas where we need more push to be able to push these, using this data to target the communities that aren't represented in the data sets. Now, I did want to mention that out of 100% of respondent, only 28% responded. So the numbers are a little bit skewed because of the percentage of participants that participated in the survey. Slide seven represents data on returning versus new participants. And I want to make note that this past summer, out of the 44,463 unique participants, 35% were new participants compared to last year. Again, this is a full year, we're at 56%. So we're not even halfway through our project plan, and we're tracking very well in terms of getting new kids to participate in our programs. And slide eight finally is represents a comparison between participants that enrolled in one sport versus multiple sports. Out of the 44,463 participants, just under 8,000 participants participated in more than one sports. So that concludes my report. You have a question?
I do. Do you know of the 82% this summer that participated in one sport, do you have the breakdown of participation by sport?
We don't have it in this report, but we could bring it back at a future meeting.
That'd be great. Thank you. Yeah.
So that concludes my report back on the Play LA data, but we do anticipate coming back to the port in spring to kind of show you where we are and how we progressed. But prior to that, we'll also come back with some of the requests that you asked just a moment ago. So that concludes my report, and I'll pause for any questions.
Any other questions for Jimmy?
Yeah, no, it's really great. It shows how the program and partnership with the LA 28 committee and the advancements of funds to expand youth sports participation is actually working quite effectively and having effect.
Thank you.
Thanks, President. This is Brendan Kearns, Deputy City Attorney. I wanted to let the public know a handout was distributed to the commission. It's available at the back, and it's also will be posted online.
I'm sorry? Jimmy mentioned that at the beginning of the presentation. But... No, I'm getting to turn off the air conditioning so we can hear, but then it might get too hot, so we're just going to work through it.
That it, Jimmy? Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Now we'll move on to general public comment. Takesha, can you please conduct general public comment?
Will do, Madam President. I will call the first three constituents to come up to the podium to make a public comment. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you have further comments, you may send them to our RAP inbox at rap.commissioners@lacity.org. And to call up the first three. Annette Eichen, Lila Costa, Karen Flanagan.
Good morning. Hello, everyone. I was here, I'm Annette Seacand, and I was here a couple weeks ago with Mark Labonge, and we were talking about this wall in Griffith Park, a 300-foot wall, 5 feet tall. And I know it doesn't seem, I appreciate Mr. Kim's comments today. I know it's, in light of everything, it doesn't seem that important, but it really is. It's been going, if the wall has been deteriorating for 20 years, there was a report done by that was funded by Friends of Griffith Park about two years ago. The wall is deteriorating. It's a safety hazard. It is an eyesore. And you know, we've spent a lot of talk today about the Olympics. And I'm so proud of our city, and I'm so excited about the Olympics. And I think Griffith Park is going to be one of the jewels that we're going to showcase for our Olympics. So if there's any way that we can move this forward and push it, you know, there's been talk about this geotechnical survey, if that could be outsourced. I know there's been discussion with Friends of Griffith Park about even, I don't want to make any promises on their behalf, but funding it privately. But if we could just move it forward, I ask you for that. Thank you. Really appreciate
thank you.
Your time.
Good morning. My name is Lily Costa, and I'm speaking on my own behalf to continue a conversation that I began in March with Kathy Santo Domingo about creating a park advisory board or something similar for the Sepulveda Garden Center, which is a community garden of about 800 plots in the southern tip of the Sepulveda Basin. Your mission statement as Rexham Park is to build community. I, together with other gardeners at the Sepulveda Garden Center, are here to help to support you in that endeavor. As a trained master gardener, I have been eager to engage with my community of gardeners and make an impact. 2 years ago, we started a group called the Sepulveda Community Gardeners, which is now about 40 members and growing. We value very much and appreciate the Rexham Parks garden staff but realize that there are areas in which we could support and help them create a community with opportunities to enhance the garden. Like, for example, providing sessions on how to start a garden, providing guidance in how to go about being a gardener, following the rules that sometimes are broken, and have seed swaps. We have many ideas that we would love to pursue. This idea of a park advisory board would allow us to have open lines of communication with all the stakeholders involved in the garden so that we can avoid and be
incident. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Morning, commissioners. I'm here because this is about the Bridge Home Shelter on Riverside Drive. I just want to make a few points that I noticed. The city council does not actually know that the Bridge Home Shelter lease renewal is contingent upon the implementation of an ambassador program that was actually suggested by Council District 4 and still has not been implemented after a year and a half. And also, it's also contingent upon the audit by the CAO by November of 2024. So that's an important point that I'd like noted. Also, the any CAO audit by the chief administrative officer of the city should include the community input, because the community has a lot of knowledge about the Bridge Home Shelter. So I'd like that also for the record. We have also asked Councilwoman Rahman to do a community meeting at the Bridge Home Shelter so that she can see firsthand about what's going on in terms of security and the use of drugs, both within the inside of the facility and the exterior of the facility, as well as the path security getting high with the residents outside the facility. So I guess that's all I want to say today. I'm getting a little fatigued with this issue, but it's a very important one because it's in the middle of our park in Griffith Park, and we love Griffith Park. So I want to make sure that you guys know what's going on. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I'm going to bring up the next three. Myra Alvarez, Sherelle Caneo, and Rebecca Beach.
Good morning, everyone. I just I wanted to first and foremost thank the LA Recs and Parks for being so useful for not only myself, my children, but the community. And I'm here to make a request to please reconsider or reevaluate the director for the Sylmar Recreational Park. We have a couple of concerns. We've also called upper management, but we have yet to receive any call back, at least for at least 10 parents. Some of the things that we're concerned about is not being inclusive to our demographics. He has changed some of the registration to all online and the app. And our community, most of it, at least 50% of them, do not feel comfortable with email, prefer doing everything in person and over the phone. And we have brought this information up to him, and he has yet to make any changes. He really wants to move over towards technology, which I think is very helpful and useful, but not for most of our community. So I'm here to advocate not only for myself, my children, but also for the community who doesn't feel comfortable bringing this up to him. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I've missed you guys. We're going on 2 years since that particular city council motion was written and never approved. I'm pretty sure that we're all tired of how long this has been going on. And it seems to me that we should be able to find a compromise. But animal rights groups are asking for a non-animal venue at Griffith Park. Why? What's wrong with animals? Dogs have been domesticated and in our lives for 30,000 years, horses for 5,000 to 6,000 years. Horses, as we know them, were probably saved from extinction by domestication. During that time, species changed genetically to become distinctly domesticated. And domesticated animals do not do well if we just leave them alone. Feral domesticated animals suffer on the street and in the wild, and many breeds have gone extinct when no longer used. Google wool dogs. The animal rights groups are asking for a non-animal model because the strictness of their philosophy has painted them into a corner wherein any relationship with an animal might be construed as abuse. But a non-animal model does nothing to teach compassion, empathy, or quality animal care. It does nothing to educate people. We want to get rid of animal abuse, not animals. The protesters have so little faith in human kindness, compassion, and empathy that they believe that we are only capable of brutality towards animals. It seems to me that people for the ethical treatment of animals believe that we are incapable of treating animals ethically and we shouldn't even try. LA needs to create a 21st century model for human-animal relationships, both with our domesticated friends and our wild neighbors. It can be done. We can do this, and Griffith Park is the perfect place for it. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Beach. I've been doing this for 2 years. This is the loudest background noise I've ever had. So I'm going to kind of pretend I'm, I don't know, performing through a standing ovation or something. I've been at this for 2 years, and I got personally involved in this. I was sort of triggered and sustained my involvement in this cause by a couple of things. One was personally witnessing hours-long verbal abuse of ponies and protesters by animal rights activists in the fall of 2022. This abuse took the form of artificially loud yelling with megaphones and physical intimidation and hectoring at close range, which was not good for children or ponies. What an irony that animal rights activists spent literally hours abusively screaming at animals while simultaneously carrying signs claiming the ponies were mistreated. Animal rights activists also have repeatedly claimed that animal exhibits are a danger to public health and safety. I've listened to repeated claims of this in public comment for almost 2 years. In checking out these claims with three doctors this spring, I learned that these statements distort reality. Pony rides and petting zoos, according to the three doctors I spoke with, pose no unique public health risk to humans, and in fact are no more dangerous than playgrounds, daycare centers, public restrooms, hiking in Griffith Park. You just need to wash your hands. In closing, as we await the PlaceWorks report, I and countless other constituents remain hopeful that abusive animal rights campaign tactics and distortions of fact will not win the day. Bring back the Griffith Park Pony Rides and Petting Zoo with change and innovation.
Thank you. I'm going to bring up the next three. Susan Reed, Pat Bates, and Quayan Ramirez.
Morning. My name is Susan Reed. I am a parent and community member at Sylmar Recreation Center. And I came here today to let you guys know some concerns about how issues at the park are being handled. There have been volunteer coaches. I'm also a volunteer coach and a volunteer coach who has been very inappropriate towards his players. And essentially disrespectful to all the other kids and parents present when he is screaming and yelling at kids. And multiple parents, people I don't know, people I do know, have come presented concerns to our director, and the response has been dismal. I am a pediatric nurse practitioner, and I know that our community is a mixed one, but I don't know what happens, you know, in the kids' homes that we serve, but to be at a community center, experiencing the kind of verbiage and tones that this coach is. We have children who play with all abilities, children who do play on travel teams, children who don't, and this is their only experience. Children with physical disabilities, mental disabilities, and it's not okay the way he's treated, the way we're all being treated by this person. And the response from our director is very disappointing. It shows a lack of people skills to me and lack of management ability, despite whatever accolades, whatever accomplishments he's had. But it's very concerning on a personal level of what I'm exposing my own children to, and on a level of being a member of the community, and also my own knowledge of
thank you for your time. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very concerning, and I'd like it to be addressed. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Pat Bates. If anyone is interested, the sound level is holding steady at 78 decibels. No one can hear a damn thing. I agree that creation of a garden center advisory board would be beneficial to recreation and parks as well as our gardeners. On a completely different topic, when will there be a realistic solution to replacing funding RAP loses to the city's full cost recovery program? This has cost RAP over $1 billion since 2010, and it was a budget gimmick to begin with. That's $1 billion not spent on operating programs, maintenance, safety, and the environment. Where will the pressure come from to fix this thing that happened during the Great Recession? And it was fixed for the libraries. It's never been fixed with rec and parks. I think if, and honestly, people don't even understand what happened. So I think it's time to really get this publicized and quit using gimmicks to try to get funding into rec and parks. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Jimmy, can you give us an update on Silmar, the coach?
Yes, Commission President. I just wanted to make note that the department is aware. We have received emails related to Silmar, and staff is investigating. And so we're reaching out to the community with a response and the outcome of that investigation.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners and Mr. Kim. I'm Quinville Ramirez, and I am a former Planning Commissioner as well as a bonk commissioner for the City of LA. I have served the department on the Prop K Oversight Committee on the RVNAC and LVNAC for over 10 years now. And I've been a volunteer at the Silmar Rec Center for over two decades. I'm here to concur with the letter that was submitted by Ms. Reed to the commission on August 13th, as well as to share with some of the concerning facts that have either been misrepresented or completely dismissed by the leadership of the Silmar Rec Center to the administration. We have a history with Coach Kelvin, who has displayed poor sportsmanship and violated the code of conduct, which we all sign as players, as parents, and as coaches. In the fall of 2023, his child received a red card and was removed from the game. Coach Kelvin and his partner went onto the field to confront the ref, which no parent, no player is permitted to do. On July 27th, at a co-rec basketball game, he intimidated, harassed, and bullied the scorekeeper, who is a park staff, as well as a minor, the ref, who was the sole referee during the game. She was by herself, unfortunately. We don't know why the other ref didn't show up. And the opposing coach, who is actually my son, a minor as well, and a staff, who has been playing at the rec center since he was 3.5 years old. He was more concerned about sheltering his players and huddling them up and telling them that it was going to be okay, while the coach berated, dropped F-bombs, interrogated and brought.
Thank you for your time.
There's more, but you'll receive it in the letter. So much for listening, commissioners.
We have no further requests for general public comments.
Thank you. With that, we'll now move on to general public comments related to the board report items, board report items only. Takesha, can you conduct public comment for the board reports, general public comment? Board report comments.
Will do, Madam President. Before I bring up the constituents, I would like to bring up Luis Leyva from CD1 to speak for a moment.
Hi, good morning to our esteemed board of commissioners and to our general manager. My name is Luis Leyva, and I'm here on behalf of the office of council member Eunices Hernandez, who represents the first district on our city council. I was here to share with you all that council member Hernandez supports the shared agreement with Cultiva LA for the operation and maintenance of the Cesar Chavez Garden of Pico Union. This is item 24-194 on the agenda. We are really thankful for the work that you all do, and we also are excited to build a more robust relationship between city and Cultiva LA to provide additional green spaces for our communities. Pico Union is a high needs neighborhood that is park scarce, and supporting the acquisition and eventual rehabbing of the Cesar Chavez Community Garden will be an added value to our constituents and to our broader community at large. Councilmember Hernandez also wants to personally thank all of the community members that are here in person to support this item and for engaging in the civic engagement process. Thank you all for your time and attention.
Thank you. I will begin by taking public comments from constituents who are present today at our meeting. If you have further comments, you may send them to our RAP inbox at rap.commissioners@lacity.org. And I'm going to bring up the first three. Chris Fajardo, Marion King, and Maya Solare.
Good morning. My name is Chris Fajardo, and I'm the Vice President of Community Impact for Angel City Football Club. I'm here today not just as a representative of Angel City. I'm here as an athlete who has experienced firsthand the transformative powers of sports. Soccer has been the tool that I've used throughout my life to stay physically fit, build connections, learn critical leadership skills, and literally travel around the world as I attempt to understand the role I play in it. The tool that I have loved through my adult life only has had the transformative power of the intentional people crafting the experiences around me. Now it is our turn to wield this tool. It has been my pleasure to work alongside Austin Dumas as we have crafted the foundation for a partnership that has the transformative potential for this sport deserves. Through numerous seasons of testing, building trust with the community, and listening to inspiring athletes like Mia Solares, I feel confident that the three tiers of soccer that we have outlined supporting girls and gender expansive youth across Los Angeles will be life-changing. Together, we will ensure that all female identifying and gender expansive youth will have access to soccer if they want, no matter their skill level. As a world sport, it should be accessible to all and cost should not be prohibitive. Our Leadership Academy will continue to utilize the trust and comfort of a team to introduce new skills, build life skills, and develop athletes holistically. And I cannot wait for the day that we bring our competitive teams to City Council to highlight their dedication on the field to each other and their dedication to the field and the community. It is our dream to have representatives of this developing program in every team across the National Women's Soccer League. We believe Los Angeles is the incubator for the next generation of professional athletes, administrators, and executives in sport. It just needs investment. So here we are, investing our time, investing our expertise, investing our passion. I feel the weight of this moment, like a player that it's just been tapped for a penalty kick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Marianne King. I'm a tree preservation advocate. I'm also a appointed commissioner on the Community Forest Advisory Committee. However, I'm speaking on behalf of myself today. I'm with concern with the item number 24-191, which is basically in our eyes right now, a blank check to subcontractors to do tree removal, tree pruning. Going to go back to what happened at the Children's Arboretum and Elysian Park. Has everything been resolved there? Are we all got our checklists and we know that this won't happen again? Well, we don't have any proof of that. So there's no trust in providing a contract to the same people that caused destruction, whether this was internal miscommunication, whatever it is, the public has no trust in this process. I would strongly recommend before approving this today to provide something for the public to have faith in, a checklist. Make sure that pictures were taken before. Make sure we have an environmental supervisor, an ecologist that looks at the site before they come in and do the removal. Notification, notify neighborhood councils, community forest advisory committee, and organizations or nonprofits that are part of whatever park is going to have work done on. So I really urge that this be paused and the next meeting have, and I'm pretty sure I shouldn't speak for CFAC, but I think we'd be pretty happy to put together a checklist, something we can trust and that we know it's signed off by someone at Recon Parks, that all this has been done before they're awarded to go out there and remove any more precious trees or native plants. Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mia Solares. I am 16 years old, and I've been a part of the GPLA and Angel City Leadership Academy since 2022. I was also a SOAR intern for Angel City this summer. The Leadership Academy has supported me in my journey as a young female athlete in Los Angeles. I've seen myself grow on and off the field, and Angel City supports us players by giving us experiences that I will cherish forever, such as bringing players and to watch us to give us the confidence that we needed and that every young female needs. One thing about this is very unique, and the academy is the mindset that they place on us players. It's not only how you perform on the pitch, but also the importance of community and teamwork. On behalf of the players at the Leadership Academy, I urge you to approve of this partnership. Thank you.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. I'm going to bring up the next three. Esperidian Ruiz Ora, Jose Felix, and Beralta Martinez.
Buenos días, comisionados. Mi nombre es Jose Felix y soy un miembro 15 años en el Jardín César Chávez Community Garden.
Good morning, Council. My name is Jose Felix, and I've been a member of the Pico Union Community Garden for the last 15 years.
Y yo apoyo a Cultiva Ley a que continúe con el mantenimiento y operaciones, ya que en los últimos años ha hecho un excelente trabajo en nuestra comunidad.
And I'm in support of Cultiva Ley's operation and maintenance of the Pico Union Garden, as they've been doing a great job the last few years.
Muchas gracias y que tengan un excelente día.
Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Buenos días, comisionados. Mi nombre es Vicenta Martinez.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Vicente Martinez.
Yo estoy aquí apoyando el mantenimiento y operaciones de Cultiva Ley en el Jardín César Chávez que está en Pico Union.
I'm here in support of Cultiva Ley's maintenance and operation of the Pico Union Garden.
Soy miembro del parque y del jardín y eso nos ayuda a cultivar nuestras frutas para nuestro hogar y para nuestra familia. Muchas gracias.
As a member of the community garden, it's been a great support for not only my family, but also my community. Thank you very much. Hello, Council. My name is Espiridion Ruiz, operations for Cultiva Los Angeles. We've been operating in the LA County for the last 6 years. Today, you were able to hear some of the members. The Pico Union Community Garden has been around since the 80s. So for about 40 years, the people you see here have already been doing the operation and maintenance of the garden. And now we just ask that we formally get Parks and Rec on board and the support for Cultiva LA to continue the operation and maintenance of the Pico Union Garden. Not only do we do the operations, but also programming on site. And we invite the council to come visit the second annual pumpkin patch at the Pico Union Community Garden, October 18th. So we hope to see you there. Thank you very much.
I'm going to bring up the next three. Hilda Vasquez, David Carr, and Catherine Davila.
Morning, commissioners. My name is David Card. I'm a resident of Palisades, Pacific Palisades, for decades, and I'm a landscape architect. I'm representing the Potrero Advisory Committee for George Wolfberg Park at Potrero Canyon, and I'm a past chair of the Palisades Community Council. I wanted to come up and say thank you for building this park. It's been decades of landslides, houses falling in, and the city being sued and settling by buying up 23 lots and houses along the rim of the canyon and putting this into Rec and Parks land for a park. And since 2005, I've been directly involved in the advisory committee, and the city took almost all of our recommendations that came out of 3 years of monthly public meetings for the design and functionality of the park. It's a mile-long park, and I wanted to say thanks to the commission, thanks to the senior management of Rec and Parks, thanks to Daryl Ford especially for honchoing this, along with all of the project managers at BOE, including Kristen Lai, who's here today. And Palisades is thrilled with this park. We love it. The next phase is going to be beach access, and that's always been part of our goal, and a bridge over PCH to the beach so that beachgoers can come up into the park and Palisadians can ride their bikes and also walk and run down to the beach. And we're thrilled. There's also a trail being built or will be built up to 6/10 of a mile away to Temescal Canyon. So we'll have two ways of getting over the over PCH safely. We've had many deaths there, but I just wanted to thank everybody. And I love this canyon. I played in it when it was a virgin canyon before all the landslides. And so it's, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Buenos días, soy Hilda Vázquez y pertenezco al, soy miembro del Jardín César Chávez. Y hoy esta mañana estamos aquí para suplicarles si está en sus posibilidades darnos el permiso para empezar a trabajar en el jardín. Porque yo vivo enfrente del jardín y ahí vivimos más de 200 personas que somos de la tercera edad.
Good morning. My name is Hilda Vasquez. I'm one of the original members at the Pico Union Community Garden. And today we ask that in support of Cultiva LA's operating in the Pico Union Garden.
Vivo enfrente del jardín y ahí vive Donde yo vivo, vive como 200 personas que son de la tercera edad, de 80 años para arriba, personas que no tienen a nadie. Y cuando está el jardín trabajando, que lo tenemos abierto, allí van muchas personas de ellas a sentarse, a tomar su café, a platicar, a convivir con las demás personas, porque son personas que se mantienen encerradas en sus casas. Y más por eso estoy yo aquí esta mañana con ustedes. Y muchas gracias por la atención que nos han dado. Que Dios los bendiga. Y primero Dios, que todo nos va a salir bien con la ayuda de ustedes. Muchas gracias.
I live across the street from the People Union Community Garden. I am a senior. We live in a senior center across the street from the garden where more than 200 seniors live. The People Union Garden has been used as a space where a lot of us can take walks, spend time in nature, as a lot of us don't have access to being outdoors or green space. So it's been a great opportunity for us to be outside and be functioning. And thank you very much for being here today and listening to us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much to the commissioners and to Jimmy Kim for having us here today. I can't add a lot to what Chris Fajardo and Mia Solares have already said about this partnership between the City of Los Angeles Recreation and Parks and Angel City Football Club, except to say Angel City was built to do better for our players, for our fans, and for this city. And alongside Rec and Parks, we've started programs that are going to change lives. We are so thankful that you are helping us to fulfill our mission and that we get to be a part of you fulfilling yours. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm going to bring up the last two. Pat Bates and Adele Slaughter.
Good morning again. My comments concern item 24191, a budget proposal from RAMP for $21 million over 3 years to fund a list of proposed service providers for as-needed tree pruning, removal, data collection, and urban forestry consulting. This past June, RAMP caused the beloved Native Plant Garden in Elysium Park to be cleared of vegetation. RAP approved the work of the contractor Mariposa Tree Management. Apparently, RAP failed to oversee Mariposa Tree Management, which they hired to clear the park area. RAP clearly did not require Mariposa to comply with or enforce RAP's own tree protection policy and tree protection specifications. Reportedly, many post live oak, toyon, walnut, and other native protected trees and shrubs were raised in violation of RAP and other city requirements. The action was taken during prime bird nesting season and reportedly resulted in destruction of many bird nests, as well as a dead fledgling red-tailed hawk. It appears there was total disregard for any wildlife concerns, as well as for distinguishing between native and invasive plants. I see none of these priorities in this funding proposal. The misguided destruction of the Children's Arboretum is reminiscent of the destruction of the Sepulveda Basin South Reserve in 2012 by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, apparently at the urging of a city council office and done with no public notification. It was a huge public relations mess for the U.S. Army Corps and the city. However, it eventually resulted—
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Hi, commissioners. I'm Adele Slaughter. I'm speaking to you as myself, but I also serve on CFAC, and I serve on the board of the Studio City Neighborhood Council. And so I don't repeat what the last speaker said. That's what I'm speaking on. And I would like to ask you not to support the budget on 24191 because of the recent debacle at Elysian Fields Park. What happened there was they did not consult a qualified biologist to go into a natural woodland and just take skid steers. They actually killed a hawk, which was found on the ground. And I'm sorry, I get very nervous. I hate doing these things, really hate. What I urge the board is not to support the as needed contract and ask Recon Parks, you know, your financial people to go back and give a more specific budget that would include safeguards for this kind of thing to never happen again. For example, to have a qualified biologist on staff who could then deal with these sensitive natural communities. We all do good work. You guys clearly do a lot of very good work, but cannot be successful all the time. And I know this as a board member because I've made a lot of mistakes. But it is critical that we make course corrections when we see we've done something wrong. To allow Recon Parks to have 7 million a year without safeguards, without a controller. I wrote a letter to this effect, which you can read later, but I suggest that they have actual budgets with actual things that we know they're going to do. And they need to know what is a protected tree in the city of Los Angeles, because they said that they didn't take any down and we have documented.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Madam President, there are no further requests for board report public comment.
Thank you. And now we'll move into board reports. And with my fellow commissioners' consent, I'd like to take the following board report items on consent. Item 24184, 24185, 24186, 24187, 24188, 24189, 24192, 24193, 24194, and 29195. Do I have a motion to take these items on consent?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second, with just an notation, Stephen, I'm just making sure I do this correct, that I will need to recuse myself from 189.
189. So let the record show that Commissioner Hutton is recusing herself from item 189 on these consent items. Takesha, we have a motion and a second. Can you call for the vote?
Will do, Madam President. We have a motion and a second to take the following board reports on consent. Recusing Commissioner Hutton from 24189. 24183.
Oh. Could I make one quick correction? Could we get a second from somebody else with regards to taking item
second?
So we'll note Luis as a recommending and any Commissioner Tran as a second on those.
Okay.
Board report items. And 183 is not being taken on consent. Right.
24187, 24188, 24189, 24192, 24193, 24194, and 24195. Um, Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote? Aye. Commissioner Hutton, how do you vote? I'm recusing myself from agenda item 189.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote? Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote? President Simrell, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carried.
Thank you. And with that, we'll take our first item, 183.
Good morning. Melissa Bettis with the Partnership Section.
Board Report 24-183 is requesting approval of the termination of agreement number 2386 between the Department of Recreation and Parks and the FITM Museum and Library Incorporated, as requested by FITM by letter included with this report as attachment 3. This agreement allowed FITM to maintain and display the city-owned Hollywood Museum collection, which includes television and motion picture memorabilia that was inherited by the city from the County of Los Angeles in 1968. FITM is requesting the termination of this agreement as the operation of their museum and library has been acquired by Arizona State University. The building formerly owned by FITM, where the collection is currently stored and archived, is now managed by ASU, and the collection continues to be displayed for educational purposes and public viewing. With the board's approval of this report and termination of the FITM agreement, RAP will issue a temporary one-year license agreement allowing for Arizona State University to act as the curator of the collection while the department conducts a full valuation of the collection and determines what is in the best interest of the collection, RAP, and the city for the long-term curatorship and use of the collection. This concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions on this item?
I have a question. Are we coordinating with the Department of Cultural Affairs as we do this sort of research piece in the next year on what to do with the collection?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So our next item. It is our next item. What? 190. Thank you. I need all the help I can get.
Okay. Good morning, commissioners, members of the public. Daryl Ford, Superintendent of Planning, Recreation, and Parks.
Oh. Quieted the noise, Daryl. Look at you.
I appreciate that. All right, here we go. So good morning, everyone. Again, so Daryl Ford, Superintendent of Planning, Recreation, and Parks. Report 24190 is in regards to the Discovery Cube of Los Angeles Carousel Courtyard Project at Hanson Dam Recreation Center. This report is requesting the board approve the final plans and specifications for this project, as well as review, consider, and adopt the initial study mitigated negative declaration that is attached as an attachment to this report. Review, consider, and adopt the mitigation monitoring and reporting plan that's also attached to this report. So just as a little bit as a background for the commissioners and members of the public that are listening, the Discovery Cube is a very important facility for the department. It's been operating out at Hanson Dam since 2012. This is the facility that was built originally as a children's museum, and then later when an operator was no longer able to go forward, the Discovery Cube was able to step in and work with the city to bring this wonderful facility to light. So recently back, the board earlier in 2023 had approved conceptually several improvements in the forecourt area of the Discovery Cube's facility. So the department owns a portion of the Discovery Cube property and we lease a portion of it from the Army Corps of Engineers. So the Discovery Cube approached the department with a conceptual plan for a series of improvements in their front courtyard area of the project, which was conceptually approved by the board. What is before the board today is one of those various exhibits that previously have been conceptually approved by the board. Specifically, this is the carousel exhibit that will go with the forecourt of the Discovery Cube. This project will require the demolition of what's currently a party room that's used there at the Cube, and the construction of the carousel and the canopy that goes over it. So again, as part of this report, we're requesting that the board approve this specific exhibit here, as well as the environmental document, which covers all of the exhibits we prepared in the previous conceptual report. Future improvements there that were ones were conceptually approved will come to the board in subsequent meetings.
Thank you. Any questions for Daryl? From the commissioners? I had a question, Daryl. So we approved today, so construction would start immediately?
So what will happen if the board approves today is we will then transmit a letter to the Army Corps of Engineers requesting a letter from them that says they have no objection to the project. We're already aware from our discussions with the Corps and with the folks in Discovery Cube that the Corps is aware of the project and has reviewed it. So we expect that to be relatively straightforward. But the Corps does take about 30 days or so to get a letter of non-objection from us. And additionally, there's one additional consultation that's happening with one of the Native tribes that needs to happen. I think that's scheduled for next week on the 12th. And forgive me if I have that date wrong. But after those two are concluded and we get the letter of non-objection from the Corps, then Discovery Cube can proceed at the time that they are like to move forward.
Right. And thank you for that. And with regard to the remainder aspects of the project, is there a timeline of those items coming back to the commission for approval? You know, I understand the complications dealing with the Army Corps of Engineers and the diligent work that our team, your team has been doing to move this project forward. But, you know, being able to expedite as quickly as we possible is the, you know, sort of the impetus for my question. So do we have an idea of when the other aspects of the project will come back to the commission?
To answer directly, Commissioner, I do not. We were working with the CUBE. They identified this project as a priority one to go forward. However, if you did need a detailed answer, I know Joe Adams is here from the CUBE if you'd like that, but I don't have the information directly. But
yeah, if we could, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. President and the commissioners. I'm Joe Adams, CEO of the CUBE. And for timing, we have raised over $9 million for the expansion into the courtyard. It's not a money factor. It's just about getting the, and we know what we want to get built. So it's really kind of, once we get the approval through the CEQA part, we're off to the races with the more detailed design back to the city for construction approval. And then we have about four steps that are in the contract that we currently have with the lease agreement that we have to kind of follow in order. I think for us, that's probably the only thing that's kind of time sensitive is that they're linear versus something that we could you know, move together on. I'm not sure, we haven't really talked, there's something that we could kind of blend. We'd love to go faster because the money's here, we're ready to go. We've been at the site for 10 years. So it's exciting for us to have this announcement to our community and make that investment into the park as soon as we can.
Thank you for that. And I would like to, Daryl, if we can maybe have a meeting or follow-up conversation of what are those steps and where might we be able to do some parallel work so that we can move this project forward as quickly as we can.
Yeah, certainly.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you. And with that, we'll go to item 191.
Hello and good morning, commissioners, staff, and community members of the public. My name is Sergio Montero. I'm with the finance division. I'm presenting the report number 24191. We request that the board approve in awarding of these as needed contracts. We have potentially six vendors listed on the report. Each of these proposed contracts will be for the term of 3 years with no guaranteed compensation, but for an amount not to exceed $7 million annually. These as-needed contracts will be primarily used for recreation services and maintenance to provide support for tree pruning and removal, urban forestry consulting, and tree inventory data collection. RAP released this RFQ on May 17th. We had 8 responses, and in July 29th, we had 6 that we are recommending. Some of the vendors qualified for multiple service categories, but in total, we are awarding 7 service categories. Thank you for your time, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. I do have a question. In the RFQ, were there can you just share what the qualifications were for this particular as needed service? And I'm making reference to some of the public comment on this item. Relative to the expertise from a biological and ecological, I might need help, Commissioner Hutton, because I know this is your area of expertise, but just the skill sets that these vendors need to have with regards to tree pruning and urban forestry removal.
Yes. So in our RFQ, the minimum qualifications or the minimum license that required that the respondent have and maintain the following licenses. Throughout the life of the contract of this RFQ, some of these licenses and certifications, the first one being tree pruning and removal, a valid California contractor license D49, tree service contracting, and to be certified by the International Society of Arboricultural ISA certified arborist, and then B, urban forest consulting and tree inventory data collection services, ISA certified arborist with tree risk management qualifications, or TRAQ, and certification with American Society of Consulting Arborists, Urban Forest Consulting Services Arborist, Registered Consultant Arborist, State of California Registered Professional Foresters, Pest Control Advisor, and Qualified Applicators Licenses. So within our first level review, we make sure that they have all of the compliance documents required for the city. In the second level review for the end user that is going to be providing the projects, make sure that they meet these minimum qualifications when giving out these projects.
And how, so this is the RFQ to have them on the bench, and then there's an RFP issued to actually select a vendor.
That is correct. So right now we're just trying to get a bench just so that we have the ones that are qualified that can participate in that RFP.
And when we submit the RFP and select a vendor, within that RFP, is there, a section or I'm trying to get to, how do we know that the vendor who meets these qualifications, when they go out to do the work, that they're actually doing the work per the certification? So again, making reference to, the last issue where there was some tree removal and some damage done to the urban forestry and trees that shouldn't have been removed or removed.
Unfortunately, I can't speak to that since I wasn't there when the...
Well, I'm just saying in terms of going forward. So, is there a requirement in the RFP that there's a before and after picture taken, that those certifications are, again, up to date, and that the actual crew that's going out to do the tree pruning or the urban forestry removal, that they're the actual people with that certification as opposed to the company itself? Just how do we make sure that we have a lot of beautiful native protected trees. So I'm just asking the question of how do we ensure that we are maintaining our trees and forestry in the right ecological and biological way.
Commissioner Kathy Santo-Domingo, Assistant General Manager over Planning, Maintenance, and Construction. In light of the recent concerns and issues that's occurred at the Legion, I've met with our staff. So as each project, be it a brush clearance or a specific landscape project comes up, we are paying special attention in terms of the project scope of work. So we've directed our staff, and it's our planning team as well as our maintenance team, to look at each site specifically and to address the specific project scope of work. Where it is straightforward, it may not be necessary to do before and after photographs, but where we recognize that it is, potentially a significant area or has some special circumstances, we can certainly add a requirement, whatever it may be, either before or after photographs or any other special circumstance that could apply to that specific area. We hear the concerns, and we're certainly addressing that specifically by site.
Thank you, Kathy. I really appreciate that. But I think what would make me feel more comfortable, and what I hear the passion from the public testimony that we had today on this item, is that can we make that a policy so that when the RFP goes out, that we know we're holding the contractor accountable for those things as best we can. And if there could be, I'm fine moving this item forward, but before we issue an RFP, maybe come back to this commission with two things. One, I do believe there was a request for a report back on what happened with the Legion Park. So if we can do that, and then what learnings have we taken from that situation to create some policies for future RFPs and contractors for tree removal and urban forestry trimming going forward?
We can certainly do that and provide back to the board.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions from the commissioners? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I think with that, our last item is item 196.
Morning, commissioners.
Morning.
Veronica Polanco, Chief Innovation Officer with the PLA program. And this is board item number 24-186. We are excited today to request the agreement with the Los Angeles Parks Foundation and Angel City Football Club for the acceptance of funding and in-kind support for the Department of Recreation and Parks Girls Play LA Angels program. Sorry. The Girls Play LA Los Angeles program. Just a little background. In 2022, Angel City collaborated with the department's Girls Play LA program in establishing a soccer leadership academy. In addition to fundamental soccer skills, the program also focused in building leaders within our participants, as you saw today. This was done through a series of workshops on college admissions, financial literacy, career pathways with an emphasis in the sports industry, as well as a mentorship and a series of motivational speakers. In 2023, the program grew to over 250 participants. This new iteration of the
program or partnership would grow into a co-branded youth soccer league for girls and gender-expansive youth ages 5 to 17 and includes three levels, recreational, developmental, and competitive. It also includes extended leadership academies, summer camps, and for our RAP staff training in terms of mentorship, coaching, and opportunities for soccer licensing. To that note, we recommend that one, the board approve a proposed partnership agreement with the Los Angeles Parks Foundation and Angel City Football Club, stipulating the conditions for the continued implementation of the Department of Recreation and Parks Girls Play LA program. Number two, acceptance of the charitable contribution provided by the Park Foundation and Angel City Football Club pursuant to the agreement to the GPLA program, collective value at $1,322,137, all set forth in the agreement. Three, authorize the RAP's chief accounting employee or designate to establish the necessary accounts to the appropriate funding received within the Recreation and Parks Fund to accept the charitable funds provided under the agreement for the project coordinator or equivalent position of the fiscal year 25-26 budget. Four, direct the Board of Recreation and Parks Commission Secretary to transmit the proposed agreement to the City Attorney for review and approval as to the form. Five, authorize RAP's General Manager and Secretary to execute the agreement subsequent to all necessary approvals. And six, authorize RAP's Chief Accounting Employee or Designee to make any technical corrections are necessary to execute the intent of this report. End of report.
Thank you, Veronica. Questions?
I do.
They just leave it all to me. Not necessarily a question, but I'm super excited for this partnership. So no issues there. But when it talks about the recruitment assistant for high-level coaches with experience working with underrepresented genders, females in this case, and then the RAP staff being able to have access to the coaching network. You know, I make note that we have a agreement or a contract with Nike to do coaching education for all of our staff and volunteer coaches. And so I think it would make sense in this case to make sure that there's a baseline coaching so that we're not inconsistent with the coaching education that's being provided, but there is collaboration, you know, amongst the sort of what is the baseline, understanding that, you know, there are particular unique situations around, you know, girls and female coaching and the X's and O's of the technical aspect of soccer, but really coordinating with what we're doing with Nike to make sure that all of our coaches are getting a baseline level of coaching from a youth development perspective. So if we can make that part of, you know, this contract, I'd feel more comfortable moving it forward. Is that possible?
City attorneys, is
just alignment coordination with our coaching education so we don't have the left hand coaching and the right hand's coaching differently. I think it should be a standard across all of our coaching within the Rec and Park system.
Certainly. And are you envisioning within this particular exhibit where it describes the operation of the program, additional verbiage, or something that's more global, like a new policy directive?
Well, that's a great question, Brandon. I was responding specifically to this contract, but I think there is, you know, some discussion perhaps at a future meeting to talk about what is our coaching program for recreation and park staff and volunteers more globally. Mm-hmm. So if it's possible to maybe take that as a future board report item in terms of the global policy, but to make sure there's alignment with our coaching education with this particular program and with what we had with Nike would make me feel more comfortable.
Great.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. I think that is all of the board reports. So if there aren't any other questions, I'd like a motion to approve item 183, item 190, item 191 with the requested report back on the checklist of items for the RFPs are issued. And then item 196. Do I have a motion to approve these items?
So moved.
Do I have a second? Can't. A motion and a second. Takesha, can you call for the vote?
Will do, Madam President. We have a motion and a second to approve the reports that was just presented. 24-183, 24-190, 24-191, and 24-196. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Hudson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Semerol, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carried.
Thank you. Takesha, do we have any neighborhood council comments?
Madam President, I didn't receive a request, but we did receive a community impact statement from the Los Feliz Neighborhood Council regarding a non-agenda item, and I was trying to see if they were present today, and if so, they would have 2 minutes to speak.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Are there any task force updates from the task force chairs?
We're meeting today after this meeting.
Okay, great. Are there any comments from commissioners on our future agenda items? I just note a report back on Elysian park tree removal. Were there any others? The global coaching policy, thank you for keeping me honest on that one. Yes, maybe a report back on where we are in the Silmar item, both the director and the coach situation. I think with the global policy, perhaps the report back, just to be more specific, is what is just a refresher for the commissioner in terms of the Nike coaching policy, where we stand on that to, you know, further engage a discussion around, do we have a global policy? How are we connecting the dots with our various partners would be more specific.
And I would also add some concerns that came up about some of the parks being able to sign on online versus.
Yeah, that was Silmar.
Yeah,
Silmar.
Okay.
Yeah, Silmar. Was it Sepulveda Basin? Yes, the Sepulveda Garden Center. Thank you. Okay. Anything else, commissioners? Okay. Hearing none. That concludes our business for today. The next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, September 19th, 2024 at 9 a.m. And we'll be at the Palisades Recreation Center, 851 Alma Real Drive, Pacific Palisades, 90272. So this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for being here.